we got here on Saturday, and then we had lunch, and after lunch, I was kind of thrown into the trenches, and then Mike, you realize you're on dishes. I'm like, I don't even know what dishes are. Like, you know, like, and they threw me back there, and I was like,
oh, oblivious.
I was so naive, no different than I was 2 days ago. Like, no idea what was going on. And we had the privilege to, like, I think we were, like, rinsing the plates together and all that, and we started this really great conversation, and you're one of the first people I really connected with here in Canada on the island. And we developed a really cool friendship that week, and I always made a very intentional time throughout the week to sit down and catch up and talk and go deeper. So I appreciate that. So I know you a little bit, but maybe for you guys here, maybe you've seen John Paul walk around a little bit, you see him here and there in chapel, but maybe you don't really know a little bit about who he is. So can you share maybe a couple things about yourself, and then I got a follow-up question connected to the camp.
Okay. Well, I've been asked to talk about relationships and the importance of community. Well, I'm a scientist and an introvert. And so I'm going to talk about the importance of relationships and community. There's more to me than that. I was born in 1959, back in the last century. I've been married to the most wonderful woman for 34 years. We have 4 children together. 2 of them are here. You may have known Dr. Jess, is our oldest, and Kitchen Karen. our third is a son who's taken care of by God. He's in heaven. But he would be here if he was here. And then we have a son, Reuben, who's been part of this camp for a number of years as well. So that's our family. So that all sounds really exciting. Well, I want to tell you a little story because it helps you understand our family. We've had homestays, so the folks from Korea come to our home for 6 months, 3 months, whatever. And so they eat with us, they go to school, they participate with our life. And then when they're ready to go back home, then they have a party at the school. And all the homestay families and kids come, and all the Korean kids who are going back to their families, they explain how great and wonderful their homestay family was, how great the people were, how great the food was, and then they get to the calls. So we had one homestay young fellow. He goes, yeah, my homestay family was the Pauls. They're not a perfect family. They need Jesus. Didn't they get it? I mean, the food was okay, I guess.
Beautiful. So here you are at camp. Tell us about your connection at camp and why you keep coming back.
Well, there's a couple of reasons why, or there's a few reasons why I keep coming back. One of them is we've had a connection with our family, and we really appreciate that connection. We've gotten to know incredible people. The second reason is I don't mind doing dishes and helping out with dishes, because I get to meet wonderful people like Mike and other young people. The third reason is I love young people, because through our children, we've been able to meet with many young people all around the world, and I can safely say that I am very encouraged of the future of our world in the hands of our young people today. So I want to be, because sometimes as you young people, you kind of despairing a little bit. There's hope. Amen. Obviously, it's God's world, God's in charge, but I love how your questions are and your interaction. The last reason is, isn't this a little bit of a foretaste of heaven? Mm-hmm. The beauty, the interaction. And if I think back to when I was a kid, and I asked my mom, what's heaven like? And she says, well, it's, you know, our souls are going to go to heaven, and we're going to be singing in the choir in front of the throne.
Boring.
Well, okay, maybe. I better hope I like it. A few years later, we had the opportunity to talk a lot about heaven when our son was ill. And so finally Sheldon says, well, I hope heaven is like our backyard. Because that's what he was familiar with. That's what he was four different stories, because I know I learned from Mike, he's got these 3 points, and I just kind of went up on them. So there's four different stories, but they make one big story of God's unconditional love. But before that, I want to talk about four themes that are going to be in the story that I hope you can carry off with you. So if you forget about parts of the story, remember some of the themes. God's love is truly unconditional. And that all sounds really good. I heard that when I was young as well. I'm 58 years old, and I'm still learning what that is. Mm. And the beauty of that is, you should see some of the people that come into our home. Amazing. And their stories. And the beautiful part is, and this is where I would encourage you as well, in terms of the answer of being self-righteous, dare to enter into some of these people's stories, and I'll guarantee you, some of your self-righteousness will be gone. The second theme that I want you to remember is, as you leave this camp and you're filled with joy and togetherness, and you know that you have a sense of God's unconditional love, you are called to go and show that unconditional love to others. So that's your great commission. Third theme is, many of us have barriers to God because of questions that we have resulting from our experience or what we see around us in the world or what happened to us personally. Fourthly, God holds you in the palm of his hand, and he will never let you go. And in the palm of his hand, you can ask any questions, raise any doubt. Get that?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to tell the story. So there's four stories, one big story. First story, 1976. No, sorry, that's second story. 64. Get that? A lightning strike in 1964. Second story, 1976, in the barn. Third story, science teacher, 1988. Fourth story, 2017, 2018, church plant in Montreal, Quebec. How do those relate? Those four themes will come out. So 1964, it's one of my first vivid memories anywhere. I was 4 years old. I'm sitting in the living room of our house. My mom's there, my two sisters are there. We're sitting out a thunderstorm, and suddenly lightning strikes the tree just 100 feet, 30 meters outside of the window. What was my reaction as a four-year-old kid? I said to my mom, "What did that tree ever do to deserve that?" And I was angry at God. As a four-year-old kid. And my mom, sadly enough, I mean, she was a beautiful woman. I love her. She's passed on long ago. But she came out of the war in Europe. She was a psych nurse. She saw many things. And she wasn't up for those questions, dear woman. So she said, "You know, sometimes you just can't challenge God." Sadly enough for me, that started a little bit of a... I wasn't satisfied with that answer, and I was known to have questions, but friends and church kind of said, "Well, you're obviously doubting, and so you shouldn't be asking those questions." That didn't make me feel very good. So that's the first story. So how does that tie into the next story, or Guelph, Ontario, 1988, the science teacher, or 2017, 2018 in Montreal, Quebec? So let's go to 1976. I'm 16 years old now, kind of some of your ages, maybe. Mike had this wonderful injury story this morning. Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I had a really injury story too, but it wasn't quite as funny as Mike's. I broke my back. It's only by the grace of God that A, I have children, and B, that I'm actually on this side of the grass. So the story was that He was a 2,000-pound Charolais, which is a big animal. It's coming off the range in central BC, working at the stockyards, and they go crazy when they see people because they've never seen people. So it charges me, knocks me flat on my back, steps here. See where that's close to? And here. See where that's close to? So it's thankful to be alive. Fortunately, I'm fine. I have children. I'm on this side of the grass. But it did start me thinking a little bit as well, and I remember thinking in the barn one time, you know, reflecting on stuff, as you probably know from when I was four, I was asking questions. And I can distinctly, I'm a scientist, so I'm a rational kind of guy, but I distinctly remember a conversation with God, and it went something like this. So, what should I do? How can I love people, because that's what I'm called to do, that's what my Sunday school teacher said, etc. And God distinctly said, enter into their stories. Well, what does that mean? Well, actually, go to them, and because some people don't volunteer very well what their stories actually are, is you actually start asking them specific questions about who they are and their life. Okay. So I did, and I remember distinctly, I had a youth event, I think even that very night, and some of the friends that I had that we used to chum around with, we were, you know, surfacey kind of people having fun, and we got a whole lot deeper really fast. It was amazing. But I wasn't equipped for some of the stuff I ended up hearing. So that's 1976. So 1988. So how does 1976 tie with the science teacher in 1988, or Montreal, Quebec, 2017-2018. Okay, now we're living in Ontario, Guelph, Ontario. We've been married 4 years. We're enthusiastic churchgoers. We want to share God's love to other people. So we're involved in a church plant. This is a really cool church plant, because I don't know if most of this is long before many of you were born. But the cool thing was there, the program to start this church meant that you called everybody in the phone book and you asked them two questions. One, are you already involved in a church? And if they said yes, we said, thank you very much. And if they said no, they said, would you be interested in a new church coming to your area? And if they said no, that's fine. And if they said yes, then can we send you some information? I distinctly remember one of the questions. Hi, my name's John Paul. Can I ask you two questions? One is, do you already go to a church? Well, I'm part atheist, so I'm not sure that I'm interested. So then I respond and I said, well, would the part of you that's not So there's some fun stuff there. So the church started, and it was all people who didn't know each other, because they came as a result of this phone campaign. It's called The Phones for You. And the science teacher was there. So the science teacher, his name is John, his wife Louie, and the kid Carly. They come to church, and we start befriending them. We're hanging out. He's a science teacher. I'm a scientist. You know, we have things to share. I find he's probably the most well-loved science teacher in that particular school in Guelph, Ontario. And he'd been there for 20 years-ish or so. And every time we would have them over for supper, or we'd go to their place, and we'd enter into the conversation of religion or faith or God, suddenly the topic would change. What's going on here? So then, in their wisdom, they said, well, why don't we go camping together in upstate New York? And we said, great idea. And then you know what we did? We went to all our friends in the church, and we said, could you please pray for us that we can have the wisdom, the boldness, and the insight to start asking questions? And maybe there will be a start. So here we are. It's the third night. Got the kids to bed. Jess and Karen were both born at that time, and we're around the fire, and it's 10:30, so it's almost time to go to bed. And how do you approach a topic that it's obvious somebody doesn't want to talk about, but it's just in the church? So this is how we did it. We said, we consider you our friends. We care a lot about you, and we wish and we hope that we can share some of our faith or our love of God with you. The floodgates opened. Question after question. They had such an incredible story. John's father fought in World War II, came back an alcoholic because of the stuff that he saw there and experienced. Louis, his wife, had a brother who had a genetic disorder and who died a terrible and painful death at 17. Together, when they got married, they got pregnant, they realized this child had the same genetic disorder, so they aborted it. So how in the world would they be able to come to a church where it would be preached off the pulpit that abortion was wrong? That was their context. So they had a whole bunch more questions. And in the context of the questions, we felt, this is where it goes back to 1964 and some of the dissatisfaction of answers then, is it would be dishonoring to you to give you a 5-minute answer to a question you have been struggling with for 10, 15, 20 years. So we said to them, well, how about if we organize all the questions and we get together for 6 weeks and we address these questions, question by question, walk through them, and how about if we open it up to other people in the church who might be interested in these questions, and how about if we have it at your place? Well, that they always have to be there. Yeah. How about if we call this Seekers and Skeptics? The 6 weeks went by. 2 years went by. We were still meeting almost every week. The dynamics of the questions changed, but there was definitely a shift. And finally, John says, jokingly almost, he says, you know, I now realize I didn't have a chance because the Holy Spirit was working. It started when we invited you to go camping and you asked people to pray. Isn't that the beauty of how the people of God work together? So John and Louis, we left, we moved to British Columbia. John and Louis, they're older, he's retired now. He was part of a much bigger church, Lakeside Community in Guelph, Ontario. And he's a quiet kind of guy, but he's a very strong leader because he was very well, he understood faith and God and his relationship with God very well. So he was a strong underpinning elder in the church. So how does that relate to 2017? Well, in 2017, we go to Montreal, Quebec, because our daughter Karen is doing her PhD in Quebec now. And we're thinking, we go on Thanksgiving weekend, our whole family is there, and we're thinking, well, let's go to a church. And this, so then we look it up. Oh, it looks like there's a church plant in a couple of blocks away, in an old, I don't know, an old Presbyterian church, something like that. Let's go check it out. So we go check it out. And lo and behold, the pastor is Graham. Wonderful. He's trying to have a relevant ministry in a multicultural community and really doing well with it. So we talked to Graham afterwards and where are you from, Graham? Guelph, Ontario. Oh, so what high school did you go to? Well, J.F. Ross. Well, did you know John Stokely? Yeah, he was my mentor. Isn't that amazing how God's unconditional love goes through a whole story of years and years? Now, John and Louis, if we didn't, by God's grace, if we you know, we were able to answer their questions, and to listen to their questions was more important. So if we hadn't had, they would still be not in the church, feeling like they wouldn't be accepted, because they have already been. So there's four themes that come out here. One, God's unconditional love. Secondly, we are called to go out, as hard as it is, and to show God's unconditional love to the people around us. Thirdly, most people's limitation to coming to church or having a relationship with God is because they're struggling with questions. And they really want somebody to come alongside them. There's your opportunity. Fourthly, remember that in whatever your situation, whether you are showing God's love to others or your own situation, which may be very hard, you are in God's hands. He holds you in the palm of his hands. He will never let you go. So you're allowed to have your doubts. You're allowed to be screaming.